You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Yesterday, the government announced the introduction of a new bill that will see roadside drug testing. Drivers under the influence of drugs have been the causes of many crashes and fatalities on our roads, and it's hoped that this new law will create safer roads and less drug-related harm in our communities. The bill is set to have its first reading in front of the House next week, with more specific criminal limits for drugs to be added and sufficient time for an independent expert panel to provide advice on the specific limits. I spoke with both ministers who introduced the bill, Police Minister Stuart Nash and Associate Minister for Transport Julianne Genter. I began my interview with Minister Nash by asking him, if the bill does go through, how will the tests be carried out?
Yeah, so what will happen is a driver will be pulled over, obviously, and they'll get a swab and with a testing kit. Now, what happens is that will get analysed on the spot, and it will detect presence or not. So it can't detect the level, but only presence. If it is a positive test, then another test will be taken just to ensure the integrity of it. And if it's you get two positive tests, then you either get an infringement notice where you lose half your demerit points, you can't drive for 12 hours and there's a fine, or if you want to challenge that, then you can elect to have a blood test.
What drugs will be able to show up on the test?
Opiates, THC, MDMA, methamphetamine, and cocaine. Okay. I think that's all.
Will synthetic cannabis pop up on the test?
No, it won't. And that's one of the tricky ones because, you know, synthetic cannabis is, because of the chemical makeup, very difficult to devise a test to pick that up. However, if a person does have a negative test and the police officer believes that they are obviously, you know, impaired, then he or she can ask the person to have what's called a CIT, which is a compulsory impairment test, which is basically how the police determine if someone is on drugs at the moment. It's basically, you know, walk while you're, you know, patting your head and rubbing your tummy sort of stuff. If the person fails that, then they can have a blood test. They can be sent to a blood test, and the blood test will pick up synthetic cannabis. But yeah, that's a sort of an anomaly in the system because of the chemical makeup of the synthetics.
Will the tests show what drugs are in the system, or will it just show that a drug is in the system and more tests will need to be done to find out?
No, it will show what drugs are in the system. And so what the penalty regime we've devised is actually if there's a presence of one drug, there's a certain fine. If there's a presence of more than one drug, then that fine escalates. And if there's a presence of alcohol and the drug, then you're in a bit of trouble. So as mentioned, it can't determine the level of the drug. It can only determine whether the drug is present. But the way that these tests will be set up will be that the presence will determine impairment. I.e., you know, if there's a very, very low level of THC, so if someone smoked a drug joint 5 days ago, and there will be a level of THC in the system that a blood test might pick up, then certainly the testing kit won't pick up. Hey, but I'll tell you one of the innovative things we've put in this, and I'm really big on this, actually. Excuse me, it was something that I insisted on. Is what we do know is that a route to jail for a lot of young people is they get fines and they can't pay them and they build up, and then in the end they get sent to jail simply because they haven't got the money to pay the fines. What we're building into this regime is if you undertake a drug counselling course within a year, recognised drug counselling course within the year, then you will get that fine refunded. So, you know, we want to, obviously we want to get drug drivers off the road, and the message will be, you know, you smoke or take drugs and you drive, you will get caught. However, what we do want to do is take a compassionate approach. If people are prepared to own up and say, hey, look, I did take drugs, I've got a problem, then we will ensure that they get the help and the education required, and they won't be penalised.
Now, we do have a pretty important referendum coming up in September as well with the election. If the cannabis referendum does go through and the recreational use of cannabis is legalised, will we see limits to how much cannabis can be in a system like we do with alcohol?
Yeah, so we've got an expert reference group at the moment that are coming up for tests around what constitutes impairment. So as mentioned, it's the same as alcohol. So obviously alcohol is legal. If you get caught driving with over the prescribed limit, which is determines if you're impaired or not, then you get done. Or if you're under 20, if you have any alcohol, then, you know, you get done. Same with THC and cannabis. So, you know, if you've, as mentioned, if you've smoked a drug a joint 2 days ago, you're obviously not impaired, but there will be THC in your system that a blood test will pick up. The saliva swab will not pick that up. So we are coming up with what determines impairment, and that's what the expert group is working on at this point.
Is there a risk that the tests could disproportionately affect mouldy in certain areas, or are the roadside tests going to be completely randomised?
Completely randomised. So, you know, there's no way that we will be targeting any ethnic or demographic group in any way, shape or form. But when you think last year, about 103 people who died on our roads, they were found to have drugs in their system. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if what demographic you're from. We want to ensure that people who take drugs and drive are off our roads, because, you know, the last thing we want is to be driving and someone comes around the corner who's high on meth.
Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
That was Minister of Police Stuart Nash there. I also spoke with Minister Julianne Genta about the bill, as well as a new cycleway for Auckland and the launch of a new measles catch-up campaign.
Firstly, it's just really important to start by saying that people deserve to be safe on our roads, and when people use impairing drugs and alcohol and drive, they put people's lives at risk. So if you choose to do that, once this bill is law, you will be at risk of getting caught. The way it will work is police will have the powers to do random roadside drug testing. This includes using a saliva test. We have made sure that the regime is very robust, so there's a very low risk of false positives, and there's always the option to opt for an evidential blood test, which are very accurate. If you're found to have used cannabis, methamphetamine, prescription meds like benzodiazepines, which are sedatives, or opiates, cocaine, or MDMA recently, and you might still be under the influence of those, you, just like with alcohol, you'll have a 12-hour suspension from driving and you'll immediately receive an infringement fine and demerit points.
Now, you mentioned the tests will be completely randomised. So is that a way to not disproportionately affect certain areas and certain, I guess, minorities?
Yeah, it's really important that we are doing this in a fair way and that police aren't targeting people of certain backgrounds. Drug driving is something that can affect anyone in New Zealand, and nobody should be getting behind the wheel while they're impaired by a legal or illegal substance.
Now, you've had a pretty busy week with this bill being announced yesterday, and also this morning you've been out at Ōrākei. What were you doing out there, Minister?
Oh, really pleased to be at the sod turning of a key part of a long separated cycleway that will link up Glen Innes in Tamaki all the way to the city centre. We actually jumped on e-bikes to get out there from the city centre and had the great pleasure of cycling on the Ōrākei Basin Boardwalk, which is a shared pass that's already been completed. Section 2 of the cycleway or shared pass will link up the two sections that have already been built, and they'll go right through an absolutely stunningly beautiful part of Auckland.
And it's not raining on you as well, which is quite a nice bonus. Now, it's not the only thing that you're doing today. I believe you're about to attend another event. What's that one?
We're about to launch the measles catch-up campaign. And this is really important because, as many people might remember, pre-COVID, we had a measles outbreak last year and 700 people were hospitalized. This is a serious illness. It's extremely contagious, 8 times more contagious than COVID. And a large number of 15 to 30-year-olds weren't immunized when they were children. And so now we've contained measles. We haven't had a measles case since January earlier this year. The fact that we're taking all these precautions against COVID-19 is helping us. It means we're keeping out the measles. But we need to catch up on that under-immunization. So there'll be a huge campaign, particularly focused on our Māori and Pacifica rangatahi, who may have missed their MMR shots when they were babies. I'd encourage anyone aged 15 to 30, if you don't know your vaccination status for measles, do go get vaccinated. You'll be able to get vaccinated by your GP at a pharmacy or, you know, many participating pharmacies. For some young people, they'll be able to get it at school. and this will help protect you from.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.